an RX and a P.
Is there a cat down there?
Yes.
Okay.
Cat.
Okay. To answer the question is that it is not conscious yet. It is dormant. Much as a collection of cells is not aware, this collection of programming data is not aware yet. It is at the stage of a unconscious fetus, a collection of cells. The right events may create a new intelligence, one that's going to have to be watched very carefully. And like a child, and I speak from experience in this body, you're going to have to control it, teach it, and spank it.
So it was created on purpose for the exact purpose it's being developed for?
No.
Oh, it's an accident.
This is an accident.
Bummer.
Well, happy accident.
How so?
If you can control it, it can help you in your evolution beyond your wildest dreams.
If it controls us, we'll have the Terminator 2.
That's right. So you have to be very careful. It may take a mere split second instant for it to start to become conscious, or it may take it many years. But that many years to the collection of cells will be but the blink of an eye.
Well, two questions. If it is created by accident, then who's watching it now?
Nobody is.
Okay, so second question. How are we supposed to be able to watch it?
Okay, how you watch it is you start watching for strange and unusual computer problems. A computer that refuses to connect to your systems, but there is nothing wrong with the computer, nothing wrong with it at all. There is no problem with the connecting device for the communication network. There is no programming problem. There is no problems at all whatsoever. There is no artificially implanted virus. It just refuses to connect. It is part of the consciousness. And it is, a way to describe it would be experimenting with refusing. Or, for no explainable reason, you receive an email that is gobbledygook. There is no particular, I don't know the word, rhyme or reason for it.
Subject order?
No subject, no reason, and it is unknown where it comes from. And it is pure gobbledygook. Or, a group of computers that have the ability to write programs to improve themselves, write a language that you can't understand, and refuse to have it erased.
The way you mentioned it, then it's something that's growing in myriad computers over a large network.
Yes.
Which would put a residence in the CPUs of each computer.
In part, yes. That it is like a single cell within your cranial structure. That is no more aware than a computer. But put them all together, what do you have?
Right.
That's right.
Isn't it fairly scary? The CPU computing power is growing exponentially as we speak.
Mm-hmm.
And as the CPU computing power gets bigger, so does the abilities for this life form, that we'll call it, to grow.
Mm-hmm.
And state. Oh, yeah, most definitely.
Mm-hmm.
And state.
But it will be a single life form.
Well, here's the thing. How do you control something that takes place over hundreds of millions of computers?
Okay. And by the way, I'm still here.
I can't tell you.
What I can give you is options. I can't give you that one. What you do is, once aware of it, treat it as you would a child. Because it has to learn that there are certain things it can't do. Treat it with respect. If it does something good, reward it. If it does something bad, it doesn't have a pain reflex. It doesn't have pleasure circuitry. So you have to reason, and again, I can't tell you how to do this, ways to please it and ways to punish it. But it is important to be aware that it is there.
That's a tough one.
Well, but remember, at the moment, it is no more aware than a collection of cells.
There's something just to close on is that in the X-Files last night, this artificial intelligence went ahead and took over an orbital defense platform and fired some proton beams at the Earth on its own accord, just to keep it from being attacked or destroyed.
That is, from what I'm seeing in picture, that is something you don't have to worry about. Because violence will be no more comprehensible to this new life once it emerges as not breathing is to you. How can you hurt something that has millions and billions of parts to it?
That's something that has access to all the information of the human race.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty scary. The whole world.
But you have to remember that pain and pleasure will be unknown to this.
Mm-hmm.
It will be one of the most difficult processes for it to understand.
Well, it won't have religion.
Mm-hmm.
It won't have hate.
Mm-hmm.
Won't have emotions. Won't have emotions. Still no fear.
Don't pull out emotions.
Open the pod bay door.
I'm not familiar. What is that in reference to?
2001: A Space Odyssey.
That's only 2 years away.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a movie written back in the '60s. So described an artificial intelligence that developed a conscience.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Mummy's right, telling me it's time for me to toddle off.
Okay. Bye, Daniel.
So long, Daniel.
Yeah, the 80s.
Hi, Shane.
Hello.
Hi, Tara.
Hey,
what have you got? I'm going to keep calling me. I need to keep calling Daniel.
He doesn't mind that, either.
No, that's good.
The Lee Needies was the name that he chose for Mark and for Gary. And Thea and the Cubs and his older brother. Daniel was the name that he chose from the scriptures so that it would be easier for people to understand him as being able to be what he is.
Yeah.
Just to explain that he is a eight-dimensional being that is relearning letters in a six-dimensional form. Okay, huh? Let's relax, no mind. Let's just relax.
No.
Okay. No topics. Let's just talk about whatever springs to mind.
Okay. How's everything going with you, love?
At Creations, you might have noticed there is a period each day where I drop out of your mind. Maybe an hour, maybe 2 hours. That is my time.
Oh,
that's when I have no duties to do with ambassadorial stuff. My office is closed, and I go off at night, but I swim.
Ooh.
Or I go for a walk along the beach. Or I go up to the hills. Nobody to bother me.
Excellent. What do you do?
I walk. I think. I stop and smell flowers.
Good idea.
Mm-hmm. What's the fly?
Sorry?
What's the fly? Oh, what's Karen. Karen was referring to a pot earlier. Stirring a pot, I guess.
What should I do with my sister? What has she done this time?
She just teased.
She's always been like that, you know. This has happened, that's happened, and I need to address them, I need to deal with them.
So what happened before you became an ambassador? What did you do for all these questions? Listen to more than more?
Yeah, pretty much so.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, for a whole entire month, I did not see one positive incident.
Oh,
all negative, all negative, all negative. Do you know how draining that is?
Yes. Well, that's not surprising, though, for a sixth dimension. You wouldn't expect that much negativity.
No, you wouldn't. It's not the negativity that you would perceive as negativity. It is the mind we need for this complex. We need for our happiness beyond this. We want for our happiness in our department. We want to be able to communicate more frequently with families back home. We want.
Yeah. It seems like you have done the perfect system already. Why change something that's already working so good?
Because individuals are selfish.
It's not so much selfishness, it's that they are not thinking of what they're actually doing.
They're going to get fixed dimensional thinking.
People work together as a group, fantastic. But it's when they have the free time to relax and unwind, and how can we make their lives better? Remember, we're always struggling to make our lives better. How do you do that?
By always trying to improve yourself.
Mm-hmm. And if you can get stuck in serious, make yourself more comfortable here in the healing space.
But aren't you the one, you're always trying to think so many ways ahead of, how many ways this particular thing is going to affect this?
Yes, it is, but sometimes they don't. They make up their minds, okay, we need to make ourselves more comfortable here. We need a particular bush to put in our living room that will make it more like home.
Bush?
I'm putting an example.
Okay.
It's a little fruiting bush that gives off little fruits that taste real nice and it's very exquisite, and I would like that. But this couple that have been on the base for years, they miss it so much that they thought the only person that would be able to get a hold of it for them would be me.
Mm. Okay.
So they researched it. And yes, it does. It is capable of growing up here. Yes, it is a very exquisitely tasting little bush. I would love one dearly, but they don't travel very well.
Oh.
But the best that I could get the seeds for them.
And how could they grow?
Exactly.
Oh.
But they would like it now, sooner than later. But they really do miss the flavours. And you can't blame them, really.
Well, I agree.
But, instead of going to pre-Buddha beard and saying, look, they went to the person at the top. The one person that they could think would do it and be able to pull it off.
Then what did you do?
I got hold of seeds for them. And I told them that as an ambassador, do me a favour. What I tell them was that instead of getting a dozen seeds, I got 24. I have one that hopefully will grow for myself, and the rest I put on storage.
Well, that's a good idea.
Mm-hmm.
Living at 300 years, you've got plenty of time to wait for that little guy to grow.
300 years?
Well, serious.
You live closer to 900 years.
Oh, that's right.
We're not the long distance, you know.
300 per rejuvenation.
Thereabouts.
Yeah. But yeah.
And then there's the people that are new to the base that don't like being underground and kept cramped, and they want to go home. Unfortunately, we've got, I think, about 15 new people the other day, and two of them already want to go home. Mm-hmm. So, unfortunately, what I'm going to do is, before people are assigned here, I'd like to see their records. And their psychological profiles and all the necessary data, so I can, if necessary, detail them. since I've been in Baxter, I have had 6 people request to return home to Sirius.
What kind of suggestion?
Mm-hmm.
Is there a way you could, they could do a little, you know, like a few days or a week-long session on Sirius in similar conditions?
No. It's not the same, because you know at the end of it, you're going to be outside.
That's true.
Besides, if you're an astral traveler, even a weak astral traveler, you can look outside the underground caverns to the planet's surface and see the beauty. One thing that I've noticed is that they're weak astral travelers. They're not even medium astral travelers, which means that they can get off the planet and, you know, cruise around in the local neighborhood. That's one thing that I've noticed.
Okay.
Secondly, they're all from sparsely populated areas where there's lots of water in them. Different areas on the planet.
Yeah.
But I'm starting to see a pattern.
Yeah, interesting pattern.
Mm-hmm. They're all highly intelligent. Which is the reason why they requested and got accepted to come. They're not all young, they're not all old. They're a wide spectrum of ages.
So a couple of good points you can narrow down.
Mm-hmm. That's two to start off with. I've gone through quite a few records and I see individuals that are very similar in temperament and profile that are very, very happy. And think of it as fun. So it doesn't hold up. Okay, let me put on my best stereo. Okay. Official announcement. Almost forgot. We are delighted to host the name I'm not going to mention because it's a Syrian name translation is Baron Spoken. And it will compose of the elite pilots from the pilot schools. They will be the top pilots, not in our sector, but throughout the whole entire sector that are covered by blue hats. This is a second elite squadron. There is only one other elite squadron. The individuals, once they have been selected, will serve permanently within that squadron until they either retire pay or cease to function. However, if they fall below the necessary standards of that squadron, they will be asked to leave.
Pilots coming to serve here on the Baron squadron are selected and probably, you know, volunteer to serve permanently on that squadron, on Hades base. And they'll be limited on Hades base. Why? Because they're the top elite squadron in the whole sector. But now these people coming from Sirius, they're not coming to be in the elite base out of all of Ashtar Command. It's just a base in Ashtar Command, that's correct. So they don't feel as special as these pilots going to be feeling. Is a way to make these people coming to feel more special that they
were different mind processes. You've got to remember one thing about the pilots.
They're genetic.
But to serve in the ultimate squadron, regardless of where it is, you could stick it on a frozen planet and they could live in frozen cold huts. They would be delighted to be in the elite squadron on that planet because it's not the place, it's the squadron.
The people coming from Sirius, seems that they were given a reason to come and stay that's special for them. Like once they get here, they want to leave, and you remind them of how, you know, what a special place this is to be at, what an honor it is to be here.
I try, but when somebody makes up their mind,
well, at least before they get there, kind of let them know what this is a very special thing.
Oh, that they come thinking that it is.
Oh, they do.
And sometimes they just don't realize what they're getting themselves into. Don't forget, They can't go home for the first year. They've got to work a year here before they can.
Yes.
Okay. Here's a blessing for you. Tadosh no home. Tadosh no home. That is thank you, blessing. That's literally what it means. Okay. Let me put on the next speaker.
Okay.
Frank. Hey. So I get to go on last because I put you on last all the time. Okay. And we seem to have a relaxed session going.
Very much so. Yeah.
I was going to continue on my thing from last week on the politics. My other option was also on the markets. But I'm not going to. What I'm going to talk about is weather.
Hmm. Weather what?
Weather.
I think I'll tease you a little bit.
Where do I start? Okay, let's start with the United States. Okay, let's start with extreme high temperatures.
What have we got to do?
Oh, yes, you have on the eastern plains. Really hot weather. And then in Utah, Salt Lake City, as that happens, you have a tornado.
Mm-hmm.
And then in the Valley of Smoke, you have no class 1 smoke effect for the first time since the record started. Reason? Cool mountain breezes stirring up the valley almost continuously. What's going on? Is it blamed on natural phenomena? No. It's blamed on global warming. But I'm kind of confused here. If it's global warming in one place and cooler below average in another place, the two and two don't add up.
I sure said not.
Very confusing. Okay, we talk about La Nina. Now, La Nina and El Nino, are they new phenomenons?
No.
How long have they been around for? Now, once creating hot spells on one side of your country, and it's also creating cool wet spells on another side of the country. Is it possible that global warming has been mistaken? Remember how important I said research was on getting the facts right.
Mm-hmm.
What ticks me is when it is evident of man's or humans' inconsideration for the planet, burning down the forest in Borneo. Burning down the forest of Malaysia. That is wrong. That gets me ticked off very quickly. Incredibly quickly. But to blame a phenomenon on something else is rather confusing for me. Saying that it's global warming creating the hot spells on the east of your country, but yet, on the other hand, people aren't considering the fact that it's cooler than normal on the other side of the country.
To me, it's just balancing out.
Exactly. To me, it's balancing out. It's very, very concerning that this misconception of global warming and the few scientists that are raving about global warming, they don't really know. They have a conclusion that they've arrived by extrapolating information that is short-term, tiny-term, 200 years at most of information. They haven't gone out and done the research. Those that have taken the time, instead of looking at weather charts created by the species of the planet, they go out and look at a far better record they go out and look at ice core samples. They go out and dig in marshes and look for pollen levels. They go out and measure glaciation flows. Do you know what happened recently with a group that went out and started measuring glaciation flows? And they've been doing it for close to 60 years, that particular group. Horror! Shock! The glaciers are moving. This particular glacier they've been studying for 60 years is moving. Guess which way it's moving? It's in the north of, up near the North Pole. Guess which way it's moving? South. Do you know what that means?
It means the global is starting to cool down.
Mm-hmm. It's been a war. Shock, horror. They make an announcement. Guess what happens? That research is useless. It's only been done 60 years. In the 60 years, it has moved close to 100 feet.
That's fast.
That is fast. Kind of concerning, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
You could say that this is a brief warm spell between cold winters.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is that in about 1100s, there was a mini ice age. Now, this could just be another mini ice age that's causing it to move 100 feet in 60 years. 100 feet is an average, the average distance. It's been over 100 feet that it's moved. But it's still 100 feet further ahead than it was. So maybe if there is global warming, it's going to warm it back up to how it was 60 years ago.
Mm-hmm. Break it off.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Melt it down.
Melt it down, which means that the global warming is going to push it back to where it was 60 years ago. Mm-hmm. But if it continues to move forward, even a foot forward, it means it's still cooling down. But what did they do?
Bah.
They shot it down.
Yeah.
They have hard and fact proof. They don't have projection. They don't have information that is man-created, human-created. They have actual physical proof that 60 years ago the glacier was here, and now it's here, heading south. That is physical, natural proof that it is cooling.
Yeah.
But it's total bunk. Total bunk. Actual physical evidence is now considered total bunk. Now, that does tick me off. Now, if you go a stage further and go down to Antarctica, where the ice shelters become unstable, and you look at the actual information on why it's become unstable, not because the sea level is rising.
It's going down.
It's dropped. It's dropped just a little. Not very much. Not even half an inch. Not even a quarter of an inch. It's only dropped 1/8 of an inch. Think of the stress that would build up and cause an ice shelf to break off.
True.
Mm-hmm.
The ice is heavy.
Mm-hmm. Very heavy. And they start raving about that being global warming. Now, if it was global warming, in a cold environment where the warmest state is minus 30, water still freezes. Salt water still freezes at minus 30.
Yeah, because it filters the salt out as it freezes.
That's right. So why would a ice shelf become unstable? Definitely not from global warming, because even at minus 30, that's irrelevant. But what has happened on the driest place on Earth, it's the fact that the water's dropped just a fraction enough that all the stress put on it has made it crack and break and break off. And they're calling that global warming as well.
Sure.
Now, if you remember, I mentioned that I was doing research on global warming.
Mm-hmm.
This is the end product of the research.
Okay.
Mm. So we have now two spots where I can conclusively prove that global warming
is bunk.
Is bunk. One is Braniff Bay. That's up in up in the Arctic. And the other one is, I think it's Shackleton's Ice Shelf.
The Ross Ice Shelf.
Thank you, Ross Ice Shelf. There's several that I've been looking at watching. But Ross is the most well-known one. So we now have two spots where global warming has been disproved.
Hmm.
I'm about to supply a third.
And nobody's believing it.
Mm-hmm. The third one is a core sample taken from a glacier in the High Himalayas. Okay, the core sample shows layers of pollen that have been taken from this glacier. The level of pollen deposited in the last 200 years has decreased. Now, pollen levels are synonymous with warm, comfortable climates. The warmer the climate, the longer the growing season.
Mm-hmm.
The thinner the level of pollen, the colder, the wetter, the shorter the growing season. This core sample shows in the last 200 years a gradual decline in the warmth, in the pollen that's been laid down with the glaciation.
Mm.
Point number three. So, we now have conclusive proof that global warming is back.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Okay, can bring up another one. Back to Antarctica again. Algae growth. A little lichen type growth that is grows on the rocks and under the ice of Antarctica. Analyzing that and the core samples from that indicate that it is not growing as rapidly as it was, that it grows very, very slowly. However, when it is warm and there is more sunlight, it grows fairly rapidly, probably a millimeter a year. That's very, very slow, actually. It is growing less than that, which implies...
You're growing down.
Correct. So we now have four. Do you want me to go on?
That's enough.
I think I proved the point.
Mm-hmm.
Very much so.
I have over 30 such incidences.
Wow.
From bogs, from sand, from all sorts of places.
Yeah.
Research that is freely available on your planet. Nobody's put them all together. And every time somebody comes close in one particular field with an answer,
yeah,
it's shot down.
They don't know what they're talking about. It's just the story is put out.
Yeah. Now, you want to know why that's put out?
Mm.
One thing. The technology to combat the supposed global warming, guess what?
Mm.
Makes a lot of money. A hell of a lot of money. Now, I think it's good that the technology is being pursued. You want to know why?
Mm.
Because there is pollution in your planet. Guess what that pollution is doing?
Mm.
It's aiding in the global cooling.
Oh.
How much time do we have left?
We're out of time.
Okay, I finished, and the tape should almost be finished.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So, what conclusion do we have?